Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Also, it's a Monster Monday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. Here, real quick, let's take a Warrior call and then we want to get back to Niners. And we got grades coming up in about 10, 15 minutes here. West Oakland Sam is on the line. What up, Sam? What are you doing?
Hey, Mike. Hey, man, I'm driving through West Oakland. Go figure. I just love how, you know, we got 82 games of this, so we're going to go through each game and be like, oh, Warriors look old, Warriors look young the next game. Baseball, we got 106. Can you imagine if the Niners had 82 games? Like, who would they have left, first of all, based on our injury report? We might be playing quarterback. But what I'm saying is, what I love about the Warriors so far is we got pieces. We got pieces like Will Richard. We see the growth in Kuminga, just like you just said. If Kuminga ends up with 9 rebounds and 15 points, then you're happy for his growth for the future after Curry and after, you know, Draymond. So it's going to be an up and down season whenever we have these, you know, win 3 games here, lose 4 games. You know, it's going to be interesting to see the rotations continue to develop. But the main thing that I want to drive home is I love what we got from these picks like Post and Will Richard and seeing the growth of Kuminga, because I do see a difference in Kuminga's game this year. All right, brothers.
Okay, Sam, thank you. I want to keep everybody remembering here. You're also about to acquire D'Anthony Melton. That's not a small thing. I mean, we'll see how he looks and how the health and all that, but that's someone that in a very small period of time ingratiated himself to this fan base at a pretty high level last year.
Yep.
This could be an interesting piece.
Yeah, for about, 4 weeks, a dozen or so games. It's kind of like Brandon Ayuk, where I'm not going to look at Melton and think, oh boy, this is what I'm going to expect. Anything you get from him, for me, is a bonus. And, you know, when he eventually comes back off the ACL, it's going to take him some time to really get fully integrated back as a basketball player, and we'll see what he can actually contribute. And so, yeah, anything that you can get from him to me is added value.
I see it with a little bit more oomph than that.
I give it more oomph,
but not a lot of oomph.
I mean,
no, I don't. It's, to me, it's not all about like expectation. It's more about hope. I think he's a very good basketball player. Sure, he's coming off of injury, but it's not a Brandon Ayuk type injury. I understand that
it's lesser.
Yeah, I understand that it's an ACL, but it's a very, very different knee injury than what Brandon suffered. And, you know, he's had his year off, and I think he fits really well, and he offers another defender who can shoot the three and stabilize things and have a veteran presence. And I think it's okay to think that he's gonna play a role this year. And Steph Curry's been out. So, you know, Steph Curry's supposed to be back tomorrow night. Not saying they're going to win tomorrow night. A little bit of a tough challenge.
No, it's going to be a tough 6-game trip. You got OKC, you have a couple of San Antonios, and you've got an Orlando-Miami back-to-back. It's going to be a little bit of a brutal stretch here on the road. And so, yeah, I'm not looking at the record and thinking, oh, God, 4-1, they're amazing. 6-5, they're overrated. I'm not looking at that. I just look at the game against the Pacers and think, boy, that was a little bit more of a nail biter in the third quarter than it probably should have been.
It was an annoying game.
Yes.
I texted you guys. It was an annoying game for three quarters. Texted you guys in the middle of that and the Sunday night football game, which was playing like baseball scores for a little. Guys kept hitting three-run homers and stuff.
Yeah.
5-3. I'm like, which one of these games is like worse right now? And I think Lucas chimed in. He's like, it's definitely the football game. And I was like, well, sort of, except for some of us are kind of excited about a potential Charger victory. So throw that into it. But, yeah, those were not the watches that we were looking for last night, either one of them.
No, they were both kind of ugly, and, you know, the pick was in, and so I had the pick on the Chargers, and I was thinking, all right, you're up 3-2 or 5-2 or whatever that thing was, and it's like, all right, I like where we're going, but I'd like to see a little bit more action.
Dubs road trip starts tomorrow. Niners lose to the Rams 42-26. They are 6-4. Kyle Shanahan says Ricky Pearsall might be coming back this week. They hope he can practice Wednesday. They'll continue to ramp up Brock Purdy, but nothing definitive yet on that one. And we're talking all that out here on 95.7 The Game, which is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. As mentioned, we're going to do Grandy's Grades today. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. I'd love to hear this from you, and I want to weigh in on it because it sounds to me like a lot of people hear a lot of different things when they listen to this back and forth. And it comes from Tim Kawakami after the game yesterday. This is not today. This was after the game yesterday with regard to Purdy's health.
Was Brock to being the backup today?
He could have gone, definitely. I just decided to hold him, not put him in that situation.
How do you feel, Mac? He's probably never going to be 100% again this season. Is there, at some point, do you just have to play him knowing that he's not going to be 100%?
Yes, it depends on how close to 100% he gets. Our dilemma, or what we're trying not to do, is put him out in the situation we did versus Jacksonville 5 weeks ago or six, whatever it was. So I do believe he's closer and further along than what he was at that time. So hopefully he'll have a chance this week.
What do you hear there? And I think that one of the key senses is, yeah, he could have gone,
right.
Definitely.
Yep.
When people hear that, there's all kinds of like, whoop, dealy boppers start popping up. Because it's like, well, wait a minute, if he could have gone, why didn't he? And when you say he could have gone, what exactly do you mean? Because, again, I want to throw out that the question was, could he have been the backup? Not could he have started.
Right, right.
Could he have been the backup? And some people aren't going to differentiate on that one. To me, all I hear is Kyle still talking through Brock's health. I did not want to put him in the backup situation. We didn't feel great about it yet. We're going to have to. It's going to be a little bit up some guesswork as we go. We don't want to do the same thing that we already messed up back in week four, but we want to get it as close as possible to being full health, and then he goes. That's all I hear. Did you hear anything different there?
Not really in terms of the way you laid that out, but what I'm hearing him say, and just as I'm listening to you, which is what I do for 20 hours a week, he's not going to have Brock Purdy be the backup, is what I'm hearing him say. So, could Brock have gone and been the backup? Yes, he could have. Brock was able to be out there and be the backup. Now, could Brock have been the starter? Maybe, but Brock's not going to be the starter until he goes through a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where he gets most of the reps as the one, and he's healthy Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now you're the one. Boom, now you play. And then he went on to say, we don't want to put him in the same position we did last time against Jacksonville, which was, yeah, he did Wednesday, he did Thursday, he did Friday. He went through 3 days of practice, but he probably wasn't fully ready to go. He wasn't even then as good as he is now. And that's what I heard Kyle say in that answer where, you know, he's not going to have Brock come in and be the backup, because if he's the backup, then why not have him be the starter? He's going to be the starter when he's ready to go. And so if he's not ready to start Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then you're not going to have him be the backup. But is he ready now this week? we'll find out on Wednesday. I think that he's much closer, and I think that he will start.
Yeah, I just wonder what that first reaction of the majority of this fan base is going to be the second the Niners do say, all right, Brock's in. Brock's in this weekend. Like, is it, some sort of a mixture of awesome quarterbacks back versus others who are going to be like, don't do that. Don't do that. You got to stick with Mac. You know, Richard Sherman on his podcast did say this after the game yesterday.
I think there is a little bit of a quarterback controversy, and I'm not even trying to be controversial. I love Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is the guy in San Francisco, but there is something about a hot hand and guys playing, you know what I mean, and knocking off the rust. And there aren't many games where you feel comfortable saying, hey, this is a game we feel like we can knock the rust off. You know, this is a game we put somebody in and knock the rust off.
Yeah, I don't buy it. That's from today? That's yesterday, okay. Today, right? Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like exactly what he said last week, which, you know, I think there is a quarterback controversy. Not to be controversial. Well, you can't be controversial and talk about a controversy without being controversial. I mean, that's just what I heard Richard say.
I mean, you know, you're not wrong.
And there's not a quarterback controversy. Now, is there a quarterback question? Yeah. There's a question, well, and I don't think that, honestly, I don't believe that Mac Jones is the, quote, hot hand. Did he play well yesterday? Yeah, and I have a grade, you have a grade, Grandy's grade's coming up here in about 7 minutes, and his grade is a grade on how he played, and it doesn't mean that if he gets an A that he is the, quote, hot hand. What he faced yesterday was unique. He faced a defense that was mostly up 21-0, and they were mostly like, all right, go ahead and complete what you want to complete. We're not too threatened by you or your offense.
Yeah.
So if we talk about hot hand, like, yeah, he played well. He was 33 of 39, right? He was amazing at throwing the ball and having it be caught by his team. But the Rams were never, ever, ever in that game threatened by Mac, his hot hand, or the offense.
I think that this is a very, very important point that you're making. Can we please be careful with the phrase hot hand? The Niners are not on a 5-game winning streak. That's not happening right now. And we don't get to pick and choose when we decide to give quarterbacks the win-loss stat. You don't get to, for me, I'm like, you don't get to do that.
Right.
You don't get to do, well, oh, but no, because the other teams score 42 in this one. Again, none of this means Mac played bad. He didn't. And I think that the quarterback win-loss stat does get silly sometimes.
Totally.
The example I always use is Josh Allen and Patty Mahomes in the playoffs that 1 year. Who lost that game? What are we talking about? Scores 100-99. Why did a quarterback lose the game? So it's a silly stat. But I do think that you have to factor it in when we're running around calling things the hot hand. The Niners are not hot. They've lost two of their last three, and one of them was embarrassing on offense. Yesterday, not embarrassing on offense at all, but you lost to your rival by 16 points. And then you tucked a nice win in between those two. But let's not do that. The Niners are not hot. Mac Jones is throwing the ball well. He's playing really well. Dig it. Dig it. But this is not like a pitcher who's got a no-hitter in the seventh. Don't go talk to the Niner quarterbacks because they're dealing right now. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. And I think that what I would love to see out of my team, I haven't heard anybody say this yet. Ooh, Kyle better watch out, because if you put him out there and he loses, then you're going to get criticized. You know what I want out of my team? I want my team organizationally from top down to have the stones to not give a rip what any of us say. That's what I want. I want my team to have the stones and have the fortitude to say, that's our quarterback. This is our guy. He's ready. He's playing. Because that's what we do around here. And if we lose, we will look you right in the eye and say, say what you want to say to me. And then we're going to play him again the week after that. That's what I would do. That's what I would love for my team, my favorite team, to act like.
And that's what they will do. And if you want to talk about who is hot and who's not, so yesterday he had a quarterback rating of 115.7. He was 33 for 39, 319, three touchdowns. They lost. And you go back to a game not too long ago against Atlanta, quarterback rating of 64.9. He was 17 of 26, no touchdowns. He threw a pick. Oh, they beat Atlanta 20 to 10. So
ran the ball like crazy.
They ran it like crazy. It's complimentary football. And this is where I talk to football people. You do too. You do a show with a guy who was an offensive lineman, and we can all do quarterback records and quarterback rankings and all the rest of the nonsense that we do. Yesterday they were down 21 to nothing, and the Rams basically rushed four all game. They played softish coverage because they were up 21 to nothing. So yes, Mac Jones had a good day. And the offense, George Kittle on my fantasy team, nine catches,
not bad.
Most of them underneath. I don't remember a time where the Niners were able to get up and over the top of the coverage and get a big-time pass and catch, right? Because the Rams were playing soft. The Rams were playing, look, take your time, you score, you can't stop us, so whatever you want to do, Mac Jones, 33 for 39, and one of those was an interception on fourth down that, you know, he had to kind of make the throw, etc.
I got no issue with the way he's playing.
He played fine. Yeah. He played great, but the Rams allowed him to play this way because they were up 21-0.
Do you care? I know you usually don't. Pick the stat that you want to use, but like, do we want to get a sense for how Mac is playing, like within the framework of the rest of the league?
Yeah,
hot hand, super super hot. Right? Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do QBR? Do you want to do touchdown to interception ratio?
I like QBR a little bit more. And
QBR or the rating?
QBR, I think, is a better stat. The other one that I love, Mark, is interception rate. Because if you don't throw the ball a lot, and you know, like, if you have four interceptions, but you don't throw the ball very often, it's more for me about interception percentage. What percentage of your throws get picked off?
Mm-hmm.
In case you're, you know, one of these teams that doesn't throw it a lot.
QBR, he is currently, for QBR, this is that ESPN kind of update to quarterback rating. He is sandwiched currently between Jalen Hurts is on the high side of him, and C.J. Stroud is on the low side of him, which is kind of interesting because Hurts, I feel like, is playing pretty well this year. His completion percentage is over 70%. Stroud, on the other hand, I feel like is not having a good year at all. I don't really blame him. He's now dealing with injury. His offensive line is a total mess. But those are the two players that are – he's sandwiched in between the two of them.
Yeah,
as far as how he's playing.
And Jalen Hurts has thrown one interception.
One.
In eight games. So I do think that's a big part of it. And I like Hurts, they don't really let him throw the ball very often, which, I mean, good for him and good for them. They don't really need to, so – that's where a lot of these numbers become, I think, easy to corrupt, because Mac Jones, in just passing yardage, he's up there in the top 10 because they've had to throw it a bunch because they're falling behind.
Yeah, definitely true. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. As mentioned, we normally do Grandy's Grades on a Tuesday. Tuesday is going to be a little shorter. We got a lot of big voices coming into the show tomorrow, so we're going to do it today. Let me get this out of the way real quick. And tell you all about Triples for Autism. Boy, yesterday was the one where I'm like, ooh, are we going to lose our prediction? Nope, they got there. Only had five at half, but they got to 12. This is all brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 12 three-pointers both on Friday in Denver and last night against the Pacers. So two more donations from Petinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Last night, did we bury Al Horford too early? Al had four three-pointers to lead the way. Moses Moody, three. Quentin Post, two. Draymond, Pods, and Gee each threw one in. That's the 10th and 11th donations of the season for Triples for Autism. We'd love it if you would get involved. If you want to make a donation to autism yourself, go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Petinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PetinelliFP.com. Grandy's Grades.
All right, guys. Grandy's grades here after a loss, unfortunately, 42-26 in favor of the Rams over the Niners. We run through the grades by position groups, as always, and we start with the quarterback. You guys are just talking about Mac Jones, so this is the perfect time for this conversation. I thought Mac was awesome. 33 for 39, 319 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. That interception was on a 4th down. One of the rare times he was actually pressured and hit in this game. He just had to give his receiver a chance. I think it was intended for Kittle into double coverage, but it's 4th down. You got to try something. I don't really count that one against Mac all that much. With the lack of run game in this one, part of it I know was because of the score, but still, even when they tried to run the ball, specifically with McCaffrey, they couldn't. The only way they were moving the ball consistently was Mac Jones through the air, and I thought he was really, really good at that. Again, 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hard for me to ask for more from Mac. I gave him an A-.
Yeah, I'm going to remove the minus. I don't really see what it is that he did wrong. I'm going to give Mac an A. The game plan was clear. Get the ball out of the hands of Mac Jones. That calls for the offensive line to give him a beat and for Mac to make good decisions and then deliver accurately and on time. Sure, there were a few throws that could have been picked. There was one that was on a 4th down. To me, that's just quarterbacking. You got 3 touchdown passes and that kind of a completion percentage, and you hung in a game where it was 21-0 before we got our seat warm. To me, that's a good job. Matt gets an A.
Yeah, straight up A for me. Same thing. And, you look at the 6 incomplete passes, not counting the interception, and a couple of them were, blown protections and just throwaways. And the one where McCaffrey actually had to come in and break up the pass after it bounced off Juwan Jennings. Great play, but I thought that Mac was pretty much spectacular considering what he had to do. And you're right, Mark, like you're down 7-0, 14-0, 21-0. And so he had to do everything he could. So I gave him a straight up A.
Yeah, the fact that they made it a game and multiple times it was a 1-score game after they fell behind 21-0 was pretty impressive. And a lot of that was because of Mac. Up next is skill positions. That's running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Kind of a mixed bag here. You didn't have a lot on the ground in general, although Brian Robinson had himself a pretty good day on the ground. Again, another touchdown, averaged 5 yards a pop on 8 carries. George Kittle had his A-plus game. I mean, 9 catches, 84 yards, and the touchdown. I know you like that specifically, Dibs, with your fantasy team. Not just 9 catches for 84 yards, but incredible catches, diving catches. The touchdown was amazing, the way that he tiptoed the sideline and dove for the pylon. Juwan had himself one of his best days of the year just in terms of numbers, but he also had the back-breaking fumble early in the game that he kind of felt like kind of ended the game. So a mixed bag. It was not bad by any stretch, more good than bad, but one really, really bad mistake. Skill positions, a B-plus for me.
I gave it a B, and it's partly what you talked about, the Juwan Jennings fumble, which is, you cannot have in that spot where, they're coming for you, and that really kind of changed the game early on where you're down 14-0. You're finally getting a little bit of momentum. They had just gotten their first down, followed by their second first down. You're starting to, move the ball. You feel like you're in it. That, and there was another one in the second half, Juwan Jennings, with a false start. And as an offensive player, as a receiver, you cannot false start. I'll allow it for a lineman. It's going to happen every now and again. But when you're out wide, you cannot have a false start. Those two plays kind of stuck out to me. And also you had Luke Farrell with a badly missed block on that 4th and 1 play where McCaffrey didn't get the line to gain. I gave him a B all in all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you as a B. And it's mainly focused on the fumble. I mean, to me, the game literally kind of ended right then and there in terms of any realistic shot that the 49ers had of winning that game. They needed points on the board on that drive. They were headed for them, and Juwan fumbled the ball. Outside of that, it was a pretty well-played game. But you should go through, and I bet, Dibs, at some point you will in your life, look at the record of NFL teams that get beat on the turnover margin by 2 or more in a game. Like, you suck. Like, you are going to lose that game almost every time. And that's what happened yesterday. And the one turnover that I feel was preventable was the Juwan Jennings fumble. So B for me.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to tuck that. And he just did not even come close to tucking that football. Up next is the offensive line. Maybe one of the bigger surprises of the game was the way the offensive line held up against this Rams defensive line, which is, in terms of pass rushing D lines, one of the most fearsome in the NFL. I know that I think the strategy, and it was a good strategy by Shanahan, was to get the ball out quick. But still, considering that, I think the offensive line did a pretty good job in pass protection. The run game wasn't the best. I mean, Brian Robinson did average five a carry, a little more than five, in fact. But McCaffrey, 12 carries for just 30 yards. He could not get anything going on the ground. But what they did in pass protection for Mac, I think more than makes up for that. They were good. A B-plus on the offensive line for me. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, that's the exact same grade I came up with. Look, there's a big old goose egg in the box score in a number that you never would have guessed, and it's sacks. The Rams got none. That defensive line got none of Mac Jones, so that's really impressive. On the other hand, the rushing stats, and I know there's a game script there, but the bottom line is they still did hand it off 20 times, and they really did it only to a tune of about 3.5 yards per carry, and in a game where the other team knows that you're throwing the ball constantly, you should be able to gash them a little bit better on the ground. But largely a very good performance, so for me, a B plus.
A B for me, and it's playing off of what you guys both already said. No sacks, only one QB hit. You would have liked to see him run the ball a little bit more effectively. They also stayed out of a lot of penalty situations. I think there was only one false start. There were no holds, by and large. They were kind of in pass protection mode all game, but I thought, by and large, they were actually really good. It's a solid B for me.
Yeah, they were much better than I expected, that's for sure. We move over to the defense. We get to the front seven. That's the down linemen and the linebackers. It was obviously ugly everywhere for the Niners defensively. I think the linebacking group might have been the worst, considering what you got injury-wise on the defensive line. Luke Gifford, I mean, it's tough because he generally doesn't play a ton, but what the Rams did with their personnel with three tight ends forced him onto the field, and he just could not defend any tight end. But that also was the case for Bethune and Winters. They really struggled against these tight ends for the Rams, and the number of times that Kyren Williams was gashing the Niners on the ground, the Niners did get some pressure on Matt Stafford. I think most of that was because of blitzes that saw the call, not necessarily the defensive line winning one-on-one matchups. They did sack Matt Stafford once, hit him a handful of times, which was good to see. But you just didn't see enough consistent impact from this front seven group. I gave him a D. There wasn't a whole lot that I was impressed with.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
No, that's a false start
on me.
Yeah, not the only one here, apparently. Straight up D, and I'm trying to find like the really impactful plays that were made, and I'm having a hard time seeing them. And, you know, you got late in the game, and it was a whole lot of Blake Corum. Corum for six, Corum for eight. They didn't even need to go to Kyren Williams late in that game, and we talked about pass rush on Mac Jones. They didn't really put a lot of heat on Stafford as well, and the one thing that kind of stands out to me as a negative is the Tatum Bethune super late hit. Like, oh my goodness.
I was surprised the broadcast kind of shrugged it off. That seemed like a terrible decision.
And then
we
went to Dean Blandino, and Dean's like, well, yeah, I mean, Tom, when you play, that's good old-fashioned football, but yeah, that one was pretty tardy.
Actually,
it's a D.
Actually, Tom didn't play that long ago.
Right,
that was a penalty when you played too, Tom.
Good point.
Yeah, he launched himself after the guy was already out of bounds, and for me, that's the big stuff. Like, I can't stand that kind of decision-making on the field from Bethune, so I'll join you guys. Okay, great. You got a few QB hits in there. Sure. They're throwing the ball as much as they did. The front seven got owned again. A D is the right grade.
All right, and up next is the secondary. That's corners and safeties. This wasn't pretty either. Anytime your opposing quarterback throws for nearly 300 yards and four touchdowns without a turnover, it's not going to be good for the secondary either. I did think a lot of the Rams' bigger plays, big third down conversions, and some of the touchdowns as well were more on the linebackers than on the secondary specifically, but the number of times Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua just found soft spots in the zone, countless, and it felt like there were a number of times where the Niners DBs trying to pass off those receivers in zones, and they're just confusion. They don't know exactly where they're supposed to be. They don't know where their teammate is, and they just let Puka Nacua or Devontae slip free in the middle between them for an easy gain of 12 on third and seven to move the sticks. They didn't force a turnover. I didn't think they were absolutely pitiful all game long, but it wasn't good. A D-plus for me on the secondary.
Yeah, I give it C-minus, so we're in the same neighborhood, and it's mainly just because I feel for a secondary that has to cover with a front seven that does nothing. A front seven that will not rush the quarterback makes it very hard on the secondary, but that does not excuse them by any stretch. And you pointed out, I mean, it's just a pro quarterback with very professional and wide open receivers constantly. And I also want to point out, I thought on the, was the Davis Allen touchdown, the one in the back of the back right of the end zone?
Yep.
D'Amador Lenore
early second quarter,
made a really bad decision on that one. And he broke the wrong way at the wrong time. I don't know if he thought that Stafford was going to tuck and run, but it left Davis Allen by himself and a very easy throw for Matt Stafford for that touchdown. C-minus for me.
Yeah, D-minus. And when you have a situation where you look through your script, and I watched it again today, and I'm trying to find what the really big-time positive play was, and you can't find it. And you look at the box score, and all it is Devontae, 6 for 77. Puka Nacua was largely like almost unnecessary in this game. You had no answer for Parkinson and Higbee and Ferguson. Your secondary was totally puzzled, and that play you just pointed out was a great example where, like, he's either going out of bounds or he's throwing it in the back of the end zone. So if you're D'Amador Lenore, where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, where are you off to run to? That was just an example of, I thought, a total breakdown. It's a D-minus.
Yeah, not great. That's for sure. All right, up next is special teams. Special teams didn't have a huge opportunity in this game, or at least Eddie Pinheiro did not. No field goal attempts. He did miss one extra point. It was blocked, whether that's on Pinheiro for not giving it enough lift or it's on his blockers for not doing their job, whatever. That's the fault of special teams. But that's only cost you a single point there. Sky Moore had a really nice punt return, which was a big positive. But other than that, there wasn't really a whole lot that was left up to special teams in this game. Both teams had pretty good field position. That feels like mostly a wash for me in this one. So I think more positive than negative, but it wasn't amazing. A B-minus on special teams.
A solid B for me, and I was going to go B-minus, but I upgraded it because Sky Moore was able to pick up a dirty kick. It was a kick that hit like the 14-yard line, and one bounce, he came up and he grabbed it, and it wasn't, you know, very drama-filled, but otherwise, yeah, the blocked extra point, that cannot happen. Either he kicked it too low or the protection wasn't good enough. They need to be a little bit better, but on a day where everything was kind of a disaster, yeah, special teams, look at you.
Yeah,
to be.
They're not a bad group, and Sky Moore actually had, dare I say it, like a nice game. Like, Sky Moore had a nice game yesterday.
Look at you.
Yeah, but I'm going to knock this all the way down to a C+. Because I think you guys are underrating how important every extra point is. I don't care whose fault it was. You're all on the special teams. And that is a flat no-no. Can't happen. It can lose football games. Do not allow that kind of a thing to happen on an extra point. So C+ for me.
All right. And last but not least, we have coaching. I'll get to Kyle Shanahan in a second. I thought this was, for the first time in quite a while, a game where we saw Robert Saleh just absolutely not have any sort of answer. And you get it. You're going up against this Rams offense and specifically this Rams passing offense, and your defense is as injured as they've ever been. So I get it. I just would have thought that Robert Saleh would have had some sort of answer to the formations and the personnel the Rams were throwing out there. With three tight ends, that forces your base defense onto the field, and that's putting Luke Gifford into bad spots versus athletic tight ends. At some point, you got to just say, Luke, I'm sorry, get off the field. We're putting an extra DB in, and we're just going to, fingers crossed, hope that we can deal with the physicality. And that change did not come, or it came far too late. With Kyle Shanahan, there were some issues as well. There was the penalty. The Niners, off of a timeout, had 12 men in the huddle. I don't know how that could possibly happen. That seems like a coaching thing to me. And Dibs, you referenced the 4th-and-1 run where Luke Farrell missed a block on the left side. I don't know why for the life of me. You guys talked about this earlier. You're calling a stretch out wide on 4th-and-1. Just run the ball up the middle. QB sneak it. Hell, I'd even trust Mac Jones to throw it on 4th-and-1. That play call for me on 4th-and-1 makes no sense. I thought it was a bad day for coaches across the board, a D-plus for me.
Yeah, interesting. I actually gave him a B, but it's all totally because of perspective on what you're saying. Like, I'm focused on that fourth and one play. Would I have run it up the middle? Sure. But I'm not a professional play caller, and Luke Farrell missed a block. And Luke Farrell has actually paid millions of dollars to do what? Block. That's the only reason he's here. So, like, I'm not going to put a lot of that on the coaching, and I'm not going to put pretty much anything on Robert Saleh because the dude has, hang on, let me count him, zero horses. He has no players. Luke Gifford, I don't think, is really that much of an NFL player, but I don't think the people are behind him either. So, look, the fact that they were moving the ball up and down the field on the Rams and made it look like it could have been a competitive game if they didn't turn it over, to me says, I can't give you an A because it wasn't a good day, but I can't knock you below a B because you just don't have what you need.
C minus, and I mean, this is where we all kind of differ, and I look at a game like that where you're getting blown out, and early first drive, the Niners call timeout on defense, and the Rams come out third and two. They convert. You mentioned the 12 men in the huddle, and you could see the frustration there. And you can blame the sub package or the players or whatever, but defensively, you got to know what you're doing. And I'm just going to add this. You're down 21-7, and it's the end of the first half, and things are not going your way. Fourth and seven from midfield, go for it. It's fourth and seven. Like, you're in a spot where your defense, you know, is in a lot of trouble. Go ahead and try to pick that one up. Instead, they punt. And, you know, the Rams kneeled it out, and that was basically the way it went. C minus for the coaching.
All right. And that's Grandy's grades for week number 10. Hopefully there's some better grades coming up week 11 in Arizona.
I would think. It's not a very good football team. Although, that was a sort of a wonky, if you weren't watching Seattle and Arizona yesterday, you would have thought that, like, Sam Darnold was slinging it. And I'm like,
no.
Because I was so locked in on the Niner game. Red Zone is on the laptop, and Jude's giving me updates. And it's like 38-0 or something.
Right.
And Sam's thrown the ball 11 times. No joke. Yes. 11 times.
He's my quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm watching it, and I'm not watching the game on the Red Zone. I'm watching the Niners, but I have my app open, and I'm watching this thing go. And you see the score, and it's like 7, 14, 21, 28, 35. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Darnold, let Sam cook. And then I look, Sam Cook, the singer, and I look, and Sam's throwing the ball like 5 times.
Yeah, yep.
And I'm thinking, all right, Charbonnet, knock it off. And then you look, it's like, oh, Seattle's defense, they score every single time that Arizona has the ball?
Right.
What percent?
Wow.
Jacoby who?
So that makes it feel a little bit more maybe lopsided than it was. Arizona will be dangerous this week. Brissett's been playing some decent football. The Niners do not have the horses to be getting all of the defensive touchdowns that the Seahawks did yesterday. So we'll see. We'll see. But I do believe that the grades will be better. We're sponsored by Moderna and not done yet. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Third and 7. Mac Jones throws corners. A man wide open. Kittle makes the catch. Dives for the pylon. Is he in? They're going to check. He is. Touchdown. Great effort from Kittle.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
George Kittle is very good at football. I haven't heard this yet. Have you heard this one? Strahan asked Tom Brady on Fox, do you stick with the hot hand? Brady is a known Purdy admirer.
Okay.
Fan. Michael Strahan asked Tom Brady, hey, do you stick with the hot hand at quarterback?
Even when Brock Purdy comes back, if he's healthy, yep, if they're still winning, do you think they keep Mac Jones?
Ooh. Gee. Ooh. Wonder why you asked me this question.
Yeah, baby, because we're putting you on the spot.
Yeah, listen, you got to go with the hot hand. Yes, you stay with them. I got to believe that's why I'm still sitting here today, because they went with the hot hand about 25 years ago. What do you guys expect me to say?
That did not sound like a
ringing endorsement.
Well, it didn't sound like a question that he wanted to answer, quite frankly.
Well, they put him in a spot because, yeah. I mean, he was at that time the, quote, hot hand. And, you know, if you want to go back to Tom Brady in that year, it's not like he was carving people up. They were winning football games, yep, but he wasn't exactly like scalding. And so Strahan asked him that, knowing that Tom Brady would have to answer it that way, even though he would much rather go with Brock Purdy, I think.
Well, listen, it's hard to, I totally get how this might feel like straddling the fence a little bit. Because Mac Jones went 33 of 39 yesterday for 319 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick that I don't really blame him for. So when you add all that up, it's kind of hard to suggest that Mac is not hot. But we're going to do it anyway. I like what you said earlier. I don't like all of this conversation about do you stick with the hot hand, because they're not hot.
Right.
Okay? They're not hot. I don't understand where that even comes from, the hot hand. You beat the New York Giants. You lost by double digits yesterday. You had good numbers. You played well. The week before that was one of the worst offensive games I've seen the 49ers play in 3 years. So, and I'm not blaming them for that. Houston is a really good defense. And this offense, quite frankly, is getting put into a position consistently. Have you noticed the first quarters of the last 3 games? Fall behind, fall behind, fall behind. They were able to rally back last week because the Giants stink. But this is not the way to do it, but they're going to have to do it this way. It's worked once over the last 3 weeks. That's not hot. So before we have a whole debate over whether they should ride the hot hand, I'm going to wait till they have one, and then we can discuss it.
Right, and the hot hand basically comes down to, is your team winning? And I'm going back to Tom Brady when he comes off the bench in week 3 after Drew Bledsoe almost died on the field, and Brady goes 13 of 23 for a .168. You beat Indy. The next week, he goes 12 for 24 for 86 yards, and you lose to Miami 30-10.
Yeah.
And if you want to look at the rest of his game log, I won't bore you with it, but he's got a 4-interception game in a loss to Denver. He's got a game where he threw for 107 yards in a win over Buffalo. Is that the hot hand? When you go 15 of 21 for a .107, is that riding the hot hand? No, it's riding the winning quarterback. You beat Cleveland, and he threw two interceptions. Then he threw another interception in a 12-9 win over Buffalo in overtime. Is that the hot hand, Tom Brady? No. And so the whole idea of the hot hand, is the team winning? Is it complimentary football? And yesterday, it doesn't matter. Mac Jones was 33 of 39, and he was hot. He was good.
Yeah, he was very good.
Doesn't matter. You lost. And the reason why he was so good, a reason why he was so good, is the Rams were up by 3 touchdowns, and they kind of let him be so good. They didn't take chances.
Well,
they didn't rally up and like make them beat them over the top. The Rams played complimentary football.
There's probably something to that.
Sure.
There's probably, I'm not going to hold that against Mac Jones.
No, I never would.
Yeah, there's probably something to that. And look, the issue with the Niners this year is no different than, quite frankly, what I would say about the Niners last year. This is why I don't like it when people are like, Brock Purdy went 6-11. First of all, he didn't, because he didn't play in two of the games. But second of all, even if you want to say, oh, he went 6-9. Yeah, with a defense that couldn't stop the run. And now Mac Jones is playing with a defense that can't rush the passer. So these records are not necessarily on the quarterbacks at all. But I'm completely with you with the idea that you have got to, if you're going to quote unquote ride the hot hand, then that means to me, that's more about almost like the locker room and the practice week. Are you walking into a facility that's like, we are rolling. We are like this league, watch out for us. And you don't want to kind of upset that vibe. That I would understand. That's not what's happening in Santa Clara right now. That's not what's happening at all. So like, there's no vibe to upset. And then beyond that, it's not about money. But it is about sort of the organizational structure that you've set up. Don't be so scared. Don't be so scared that, ooh, but what if he doesn't look good? Ooh, but what if he's rusty? Ooh, but what if, forget all that. This is your quarterback. This is your quarterback, and when he's ready to go, you play him because he's a better player than the other guy, and you need to elevate your offense as much as possible.
And I do think that it'd be a different story if Mac Jones in his 8 games was 7-1. Like 5-3, Mac's been good. Mac's been better than good. He's been the best backup this year in the NFL, without a doubt. He's got more wins than any other backup. He has almost as many wins as every other backup combined. That's not anything to sneeze at, but he's 5-3. They are 5-3. And so when you get your starter back, you play your starter. And if your starter comes out and he looks really, really bad or he gets hurt, well, then maybe you go back to Mac, but you probably don't because this is more about the future than it is about this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, the other thing is sometimes we probably spend, it's just like anything else in life, we're going to hem-haw, worry, freak out, talk about it. This will all, it'll be evident. It'll be evident when the time comes. When they get there, they're going to be definitive about it. I am interested to hear our listeners and the 49er fan base, whenever that day comes, that the Niners say, Brock's in. And is that an exciting feeling? Is it a nervous feeling? Is it a they're doing this wrong feeling? What is that actual organic feeling that comes up in a Niner fan as soon as they make that announcement, which could be on Friday?
Yep, it will be on Friday. And
it could be if they start him. I don't know that they're going
to
start him.
I think that Wednesday when he goes out there, if he's able to get the first team snaps and assuming that he doesn't get re-injured, he'll start on Friday. I think Wednesday will tell us everything about Sunday. Right now, looking at the ESPN bet, Niners favored by 2.5.
Yep.
At Arizona. One of them home dogs that you like to talk about.
Home dog.
Yeah. Rams, by the way, favored by 2.5 over Seattle at home, also in that afternoon window. But
yeah,
for you survival people, survivor pool people, not a lot of huge big-time favorites this week.
Oh, I've already got my plan for the next 3 weeks. Do you have yours, Grandy?
Nope, I haven't looked at it yet.
Thursday night, Patriots by 11.5.
Yeah.
That's your biggest favorite of the week.
That's the biggest number of the week. Yeah.
And the pick is in already on Thursday, by the way.
Oh, that game's in New England, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The Jets.
Hot.
Hey, Drake May might be like the next big thing. He's really good. Really good. Hey, Dave in Santa Rosa.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Hey, oh, Nick stinks.
Dave, you got like 30 seconds because we're going to go home and all that stuff.
Random. But
yeah, what's up, Dave?
I know. I feel your pain. I'm stuck on 19th. Real quick, when you look at max QBR compared to Brock's, just take a little snippet of last year compared to this year. Brock really didn't have a lot of weapons, and he technically didn't go 6-11. I totally agree. But yeah, he didn't look very good and exposed a lot of weaknesses. You look at how Mac is taking a subpar staff and done really, really well. Unfortunately, the defense can't keep him in a game. But, hey, appreciate your show. Common sense, no nonsense. Much love.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
By the way, you want to know something fun? Dave, thanks. Mac Jones has adjusted QBR so far this year, 64.8.
All right.
Want to know what Brock Purdy's was last year?
64.7.
64.8.
Oh, wow.
That's fun.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Grandy, what are you about to do on the radio?
We're going to hear you guys, along with Stani and Goo, on the crossover.
Ooh.
React to that shellacking the Niners took.
Boy, Stani took a little bit of one during the crossover,
too. Yeah,
you
guys came at him.
Yeah, that was tough for him.
Yeah.
Tough day.
He was confused.
He was, which I was confused. I was confused why he was confused.
Yeah.
Anyway.
A little bit of a two-piece.
Here comes Grandy, and that's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, let's see, Stink, Mongo.
Ooh, boy.
Cousin Nick. Condensed.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.